Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, 13:1-9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, and they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." A young man had just gotten out of seminary. This sounds autobiographical, but it's not. Though this is pretty similar to experiences that I've had, where he spent several years learning and studying all the different theological terms and the biblical knowledge that he thought would just make him a successful pastor. He had just been hired at a country church and was determined to hit the ground running. So he went out to win his first soul for the Lord in the new community. He kind of just started walking out, and he came to a farmer working in the field. And he wasn't sure if the man was a Christian, and he asked, "Are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, my good man?" And the farmer didn't even look up. He said, "Nah, these are soybeans. They're not grapes." And the pastor realizing that he had asked kind of the wrong question, he said, "Are you a Christian?" And the farmer, with the same amount of disinterest, said, "No, my name is Jones. You might be looking for Jim Christian. He lives about a mile south of here." And not giving up, this young pastor tried again, asking the farmer, "Are you lost, brother?" He says, "Nope, I've lived here my whole life." All right, and he finally said, "Are you prepared for the resurrection?" And this caught the farmer's attention, and he asked, "Well, when's it going to be?" And the young pastor smiled, thinking he got through, and he said, "It could be today, it could be tomorrow, or the next day." And the farmer pulled out his handkerchief, wiped his brow. He said, "Well, I'm really busy with the harvest, and I'd appreciate if you didn't mention it to my wife. She doesn't get out that much, and she'll want to go all 3 days." These two in the story are talking to each other, but they're actually not talking about the same thing. They're talking past each other. This is the same thing that happens with Jesus and parables, of which our scripture is one of the most well-known ones today. Parables are an interesting way to teach. They're stories, they're images, but they function kind of in the way of a joke. Jokes like parables use stories and images, and they pull us all the way to the end until something's shared that gives the whole thing a new meaning. Sometimes we'll hear it and get it right away. Sometimes it takes us a while to get it. But often with parables, as with jokes, the point is not always immediately obvious. It takes some thinking. It takes a bit of kind of stewing around, percolating in our minds until we understand it. Parables have an indirect way of getting their message across. Like jokes, they leave it to us, the hearers, to do the connecting, the necessary work of understanding. Jesus used parables all the time. If you look through the Gospels, you'll see tons of them: the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the pearl of great price, and the list goes on. The question is, why did Jesus use so many parables? The answer, Jesus says, is that so we won't understand them. And if I was being parabolic like Jesus, I'd just leave it at that and then end the sermon and walk out the door. But let me explain what I mean. Parables are a teaching aid, and he uses them to help followers to see the reality of God's kingdom, which is hard to see because it's so different from our reality. I could have just told you at the beginning of the sermon that young pastors are pretty enthusiastic, and they tend to use big words that people don't quite understand because they've learned all these things, they want to share it. But telling you the story gets at the same thing in a different way. It digs into our hearts and minds and with the things that Jesus hopes for us. That's what the purpose of parables are. It uses common things to introduce uncommon things, the workings of God's kingdom. So today I want to suggest that the parable of the sower is about three things, and they all start with S, which is really easy to remember. I love three things. That's about all I can remember. And I start with it starts with S, the soil, the seed, and the sower. So the first one is, go for it, the soil. All right. Just making sure you're paying attention. All right. There won't be a quiz at the end, or will there? Sometimes the way we look at the parable, or we talk about it, this one should be the parable of the soil. It kind of, you know, the question that most of the time, maybe people have heard this in other sermons, it asks, what kind of soil are you? And let's be honest, how many of us are going to say, we're the good soil, right? Please raise your hand if you're the soil that's producing 100, 60, 30. Nobody, in case you're watching at home, no one raised their hands. But none of us are going to put our hands up and say, yeah, I'm doing really great. I'm producing at 30, 60, 100 times. I'm rocking this faith thing. Of course not. We're going to be honest with ourselves. Instead, we're going to say, you know, there's a few thorns and it's a little rocky. I'm doing okay some days, but something comes up and I have a hard time. The question of what kind of soil are you invites introspection. And it's not a bad question and it can be helpful. It's good to stop and reflect on our lives and how we're doing and our relationship to the divine. But the danger is sometimes we can become kind of hypochondriacs, spiritual hypochondriacs, where we're always checking in, saying, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? You know, am I following the faith? Am I growing? Am I all these things? And so it doesn't need to be quite that intense. There's a place for asking what kind of soil we are, but maybe, and I'll do that next time this scripture comes up in the lectionary. But I wonder what the more helpful question might be is, what kind of soil is conducive to growing? Or to put it another way, what conditions are needed for the seed planted in us to flourish? And Jesus explains the parable of the sower as an explanation of the effects of his preaching, his teaching, and of the kingdom that will produce in people. The funny thing about this parable is mostly the parables kind of focus on the ones that don't work well. The various reasons why Jesus and his teaching, his proclamation, don't take hold in our lives. Therefore, we make good soil, if we define it negatively, by saying good soil is not hard, good soil is not shallow, good soil is not crowded. Or we can flip it and make the negatives into positives and say good soil is open, good soil is deep, and allows room for the seed to grow. The seed scattered on the path is like a joke which we don't understand. It's heard, but it doesn't go any further than that. The soil on the path is not open. It's been compacted and pressed and countless feet which have walked over it in the years. It's hard. It's not receptive. The soil's interaction with the seed is only a surface level. It never penetrates the surface. It never goes deeper. And that being the case, the seeds of the kingdom which Jesus sows never have a chance to take any root. And without roots, it cannot grow. So what is good soil? Good soil is that which gets to know Jesus. It's that which spends time with Jesus, that is constantly plowed by Jesus through prayer, through reading of the scriptures, through attentiveness, through service to others. This is the way that we work the soil so it isn't hard. Good soil is that which allows Jesus and his word to dwell in us. Paul says it in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. Good soil is also deep. The soil in the rocky ground was shallow. It gave growth at first, but at the end it kind of petered out. Jesus explains that some people who hear the message are really enthusiastic, but then something happens and life gets hard and they turn away from it quickly. And some people are too ready to follow Jesus, but unaware of what it means in the long run. The great theologian Stanley Hauerwas says that people that are too ready to follow Jesus means we haven't understood what kind of Savior Jesus is. Jesus is a crucified Savior. Following him is hard, it's difficult, it's demanding, and if we think it's easy, we're mistaken. So good soil is open, deep, but it's also uncrowded. We once had a garden, one of the houses we lived in, and you know, and my wife is very good at that, but I don't really. I just figure you just grow and you put stuff and it just grows. But it started growing, but what it started growing was these things called weeds. And there was this farmer who lived up the road, and he had an amazing farm. And he drove by, and he used to give me a hard time because he was a pastor. So he'd come up and say, "Hey, Chappie, are you growing vegetables or weeds in that garden?" And then he'd pull his truck off and drive away. The seeds of the kingdom don't grow well when there's competition, the same way our garden. That's why we weed our gardens, is because it's competing for the nutrients. It's competing for those things. It's the same thing with the seeds in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven doesn't tolerate rivals or adversaries. It needs to have free reign to grow and spring up whenever it needs to and can't be stifled. There are many things that can compete with this message. It can be wealth, it can be status, it can be popularity, it can be a whole host of things. It's anything that we kind of protect, maintain, and that makes the following of Jesus, you know, safe or cost-free. So the soil of our hearts in this parable is important to our faith, but so is the seed. The purpose of the seed, of any seed, is to reproduce itself. Even tiny seed contains huge potential for life. Take a sunflower seed, for instance. One sunflower, in the right condition, can produce 1,000 sunflower seeds. That's not bad, right? And the same thing with an acorn, right? Little tiny acorns growing into huge oak trees. Very small, with huge potential. The problem with the seeds that are sown on the path and the rocky ground are that they are not successful because they don't blossom. They're unfruitful. They're unproductive. In the life of faith, those are not good enough. Good enough is not good enough in the life of faith. In contrast, the good soil, which represents the disciples of Christ, yields an increase. It grows. Growth is a word we hear a lot in businesses and churches. But what Jesus is saying, that good soil is characterized by growth. The seed, Jesus says, is the word of the kingdom. The openness of the soil is how we hear that word. But to receive this word is to receive Jesus, to receive Christ himself. The disciples, the good soil, are those who not only receive Jesus' words, but him himself. The disciples are those who follow their example in order to become like him. Disciples, in the sense, we're all apprentices of Christ. Christian, the word Christian literally means little Christ. Christ himself is the seed, and the seed spoken of in the Bible, proclaimed in preaching and revealed in person. His teachings, but also more than that, his life, how he lived, what he did, how he treated people, how he interacted with people, this is all part of that. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus sends the disciples to make disciples of the nations. Disciples making disciples. This is the seed flourishing. People all over wanting to be more like Jesus. Good soil allows the seed planted in it to grow and flourish. The seed must change us. Good soil turns hearing into doing. So we must be about doing the work that God has set before us in the context that we find ourselves. This is how the seed has been planted in the good soil from this parable. The soil, the seed, and the last one is? Sower. All right, somewhere. Okay, you're still with me. This is my last point, which is the shortest one. Huh? All right. No, don't get too excited. The third and final point is, now, like I said earlier about the sower, I'm not much of a gardener. I kill the unkillable plants. But it seems to me that the best way, if I was good at it, would be, you know, you don't just go into the garden and throw things, like, right? You kind of, in movies, when somebody wants to plant a seed, what do? They go out, they dig a little hole, right? And you put the seed in with some fertilizer, you water it, you take time, you're very intentional with it, right? Is anybody good at gardening? Is that what you do? Yep, okay, good. Okay, good to know. But I was thinking about demonstrating this morning where you're just throwing the seed, where you just take, I was going to throw seed at everyone, but I didn't want to drive everybody away. But that's what this sowing is like. It's the kind of the messiness of, you know, throwing it everywhere. This is what the sower is kind of talking about. Imagine if you're driving down South Britain Road here, and there's the farmer pulling in the seeder. Is that what it's called, that shoots out seed? If it isn't, that's what I'm calling it. But they're pulling the seeder along, and it's just driving down the road and just shooting seeds everywhere. Can you imagine? And you're kind of following behind. And you're like, Does that farmer know that the seeds are shooting out the back? Should we flag them down? And then flagging them down, you ask the farmer, you know, you're shooting seeds all over the road and they're not going to grow on the road. And the farmer says, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I'm purposely trying to seed everywhere. You think that person was a little crazy, right? Right? Because you can't grow seeds in the middle of the road. But that's what Jesus is like. The parable points us to a sower who recklessly, extravagantly, wastefully is generous with this seed. It points to a sower who's interested in everyone and wants the kingdom to break into everywhere it possibly can. If it's just two or three seeds that sprout along the side of the road, for this sower, for this farmer, that is enough. But this isn't a farmer who's worried about efficiency at all. This is a farmer who doesn't write anyone off, whose love is indiscriminate. This is the same shepherd that would leave the 99 to go find the one lost sheep. We, the church, like Jesus, are called to be the seed that is scattered all over the face of the earth. We're picked up and flung by the sower in every area of our life, into every part of society. The message of God's love is crazily universal. And we as followers will be thrown everywhere and anywhere to live with a lavish abandon. The parable of the sower is an important one, but it's really a parable about how to hear parables. The parables are addressed to all, just as the seed is cast everywhere. But it's the ones who are committed, the ones who want to know more, the ones who want to dive deeper, who choose to spend time with God, who let the words and the ideas not just hit their ears, but come inside and say, how can I live differently because of that? That's the purpose of this. Whoever puts other things that compete for their attention, the ones who reap the awards of Christ and his teachings, Jesus who is the key to the explanation and the understanding of the parable. Jesus saying, get to know me and all these things will become very clear. So let us pray to know Jesus more, get to know God and have ears to hear his truth. Amen. Amen. Thank you.